Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Christopher John Bjerknes, historian, who has a website entitled JewishRacism.com. And on that website, you can, among many other things, find the complete 575-page book that he has written entitled The Jewish Genocide of Armenian Christians. That is a free PDF download. And I hope that you folks will avail yourselves of this information, as I plan on doing it in the days ahead, in order that I might be more informed about not only things that pertain to the 20th century and to the first century, for that matter, but things going on right now in terms of the present world situation that we find ourselves being informed by when it comes to analyzing those events in the light of the kinds of things that Christopher John Bjerknes is telling us that were going on in the 20th century. As it relates to this whole business of the Zionist manipulation of both the Ottoman Empire and the nation of Armenia for purposes related to a Jewish homeland in Palestine, the establishment of it, and ultimately to the establishment of a world government under Zionist control. Christopher, getting back into what you were saying, this 1903 Zionist conference that it was in the process of unfolding its plans in regard to the future. Presumably there were world governments that were keeping an eye on this thing that had their own concerns about what was being discussed there. I find it to be interesting that despite the fact that undoubtedly a few dots must have been connected by those who were targeted by this operation, that nonetheless it succeeded anyway.
Yes, and the governments were aware, especially the Tsar of Russia. But first let me address Turkey, the Turkish Empire, and the Sultan.
Sure.
The Jews, the Salonikan Jews, who were the revolutionaries who established the Young Turks as a revolutionary movement on the model of Mazzini's Young Italy movement, blamed the Christians for all of the ails of the Turkish Empire. And they blamed specifically the Armenians, who were bankers, for bankrupting the Turkish Empire, when in fact it was the Rothschilds who were bankrupting the empire so that they could force the Sultan to borrow money by securing Palestine on the loan so that the Rothschilds would then be able to essentially buy Palestine from the Turkish Empire. But by doing this, they made the Sultan believe that Christian emissaries and missionaries in the Turkish Empire were in fact spies who were undermining the empire and trying to convert it into a Christian empire. So they therefore pitted the Sultan against the Christians and pretended to be victims of the Christians themselves. And that is why the Sultan fell victim to this trap. And the Armenians themselves were suckered because they believed that if they sacrificed themselves, they would ultimately be given an independent nation. And in addition to that, though the Turkish Empire generated great revenues, the Jews who were involved in administering it and international finance bankrupted it. Now, a more interesting case is the Tsar, who was exactly aware of what was going on and identified Zionism as the problem. The Tsar created a very cosmopolitan, very tolerant empire, and he saw that the Zionists were trying to force Jews who were at that time beginning to assimilate and become very cosmopolitan and integrate into the Russian Empire. He saw that the Zionists were trying to break them up and form them into a united nation which would be in opposition to the Tsar. So the Tsar outlawed Zionism and was called intolerant for this act of tolerance.
We'll be back with Christopher John Bjerknes. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Turn to JewishRacism.com to find his 575-page book entitled The Jewish Genocide of Armenian Christians. We'll be back.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains three DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
We're back. This is Mark Nancost, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by historian Christopher John Bjerknes. He is the author of The Jewish Genocide of Armenian Christians. That complete 575-page manuscript is available to you by going to jewishracism.com. A lot of other things available there for you as well, and I plan on taking a look at this complete manuscript in the days that are ahead. Christopher, hopefully you have a little bit of time now for an extended conversation once more. We were talking about this whole business then of some of the reasons why, despite the fact that the Zionists had this conference in 1903 that at least partially tipped their hand in regard to what they were thinking about, that they largely succeeded in their efforts. And certainly we were going from that point to discussing this whole issue of the Tsar and the fact that he ended up outlawing Zionism because of the fact that he figured out correctly that his empire was being targeted by these folks for demise.
Yes, and it was exactly at that time that the Jewish bankers then launched a major war against the Tsar, and they were very clever about it. They tried to pit the Russian people and the rest of the world against the Tsar And they caused the Russian people many hardships through economic means. They conducted strikes. They attempted a revolution in 1905. They instigated the Japanese to fight the Russo-Japanese War. During that war, they cut off all of Russia's access to the international money markets while they were simultaneously heavily funding Japan against Russia. And that is how the Japanese were able to defeat the Russians. And during that period, Russian military men who were held prisoner were flooded with Marxist revolutionary propaganda. As they were held prisoner by the Japanese, they were sitting around very bored, and the Jewish bankers cleverly, and Schiff was involved in this, and the
Jacob
Rothschild.
Schiff.
Jacob Schiff, exactly.
Yes.
Who was affiliated with the Rothschild family, and the Rothschilds were heavily involved in blocking the Tsar's access to the money markets and in funding the Japanese against the Tsar. And that war took place in 1904 and 1905. And then an attempted revolution happened in 1905. And it's widely known that that revolution was really another attempted Jewish takeover.
Yes, and you brought Jacob Schiff into this. I'm looking at a piece that was authored in E. Michael Jones' Culture Wars by a gentleman by the name of EOC Pogonowski, if I'm pronouncing the name correctly, and in his piece, which is entitled "What I Learned at Sachsenhausen," on page 31 of that essay, Jacob Schiff is linked to the Warburg brothers, and it also talks about the fact that Jacob Schiff successfully financed Leon Trotsky with some $20 million, and according to the book by a Russian general, Arseny de Gulovich, Tsardom and the Revolution, Schiff received from Lenin's government $100 million in gold during 1918 to 1922, paid directly to the firm Kuhn, Loeb & Company in New York. So, you know, the tentacles of this seem to be absolutely never-ending.
Oh, absolutely. And the wealth they pilfered from Russia, Russia is still trying to recover from this attack, and it's been an ongoing attack. Ever since the Khazars, the Ashkenazi Jews, began their battles with the Rus, there has been a mortal conflict between the two people, and the Russians have been the more tolerant of the two, although they did commit some pogroms, and they did establish the Pale of Settlement. There has been a constant conflict, and we can bring it closer to home with their infiltration of the Christian Zionist movement in America and trying to stigmatize the Russian people as if they are the Gog and Magog of the Book of Ezekiel, and trying to instigate a nuclear war against Russia on this premise. They have, the Ashkenazi Jews have had a long-standing hatred of the Russian people. But to bring it back to the important names you mentioned, the Warburgs were very important. They began as a banking house under the name of Del Banco, I believe. And they, one of the brothers, Paul, came to America, and he established the Federal Reserve, and he was one of the key players in the Jekyll Island plans to establish the Federal Reserve. And they also had their hands in controlling Woodrow Wilson through Louis Brandeis, who was a Frankist Jew and who was blackmailing Wilson. And in terms of Trotsky, Trotsky pursued this idea of permanent revolution, which has been handed down through the Trotskyites to the neoconservatives in America today, where they have changed the language subtly to regime change. And we find this process of permanent revolution still occurring through these Trotskyites in permanent revolution. And you had the same Trotskyite infiltration of the CIA in the 1950s and the 1960s, which led to the destabilization of the Middle East, where they were overthrowing Mossadegh and blackmailing and bribing all the leaders of the Middle East. They had infiltrated Arafat. They've infiltrated the Saudi royal house. They've infiltrated Sinora. The whole Middle East region has been set up for a series of revolutions, which I believe are about to take place. There's going to be civil wars, revolution, and it's going to be used to trigger World War III.
Yes, and presumably all of this then, in terms of the beneficiaries of this kind of apocalypticism, the ultimate beneficiaries presumably are the central bankers.
Absolutely. You have to look at who benefits, and whose plans are being carried out and what the goals appear to be. And the goals appear to be to kill off a lot of people, to destroy national sovereignties, to establish a world government, and to establish greater Israel. All these are the messianic goals of Judaism, and we see that these are, in fact, the goals that are being carried out by these people. And we know that Rothschild made a petition to become the king of the Jews, and the Jews weren't interested. Zionism was a very unpopular movement. There had been many Zionist attempts throughout history, from Bar Kokhba on through David Elroy, on through Shabbatai Tsevi, and they were all unsuccessful, and they all resulted in very bad things happening to the Jewish people. And in addition to that, the Jews were beginning to assimilate in the 1890s. They had been emancipated almost everywhere, and they liked their lives. They liked their lives in Europe, they liked their lives in America, and they didn't want to move to Palestine. So the solution that the Jewish bankers came up with was Nazism. They put in Adolf Hitler into power. They funded him. They trained him. He was a product of the Bolshevist movement in Germany that established a Soviet republic in Bavaria, I think in 1918 or 1919 in the Spartacist revolution. And they discovered that the German people didn't want to become communist, so they created an artificial anti-communist movement, which they called Nazism, which had as its goal the same goals as Zionism, the segregation of the Jews, the prevention of Jewish assimilation into European society, and the establishment of an independent Jewish state in Palestine. And there is a lot of documented evidence. Lenny Brenner chiefly has documented a great deal of evidence. It's not merely evidence. He has established many documented instances where the Zionists and the Nazis collaborated. And there was a boycott against Germany after Adolf Hitler took power, and it was the Zionists who came to Hitler's defense and who helped to finance Nazism.
Well, you know, I know we're getting somewhat far afield of what happened to the Armenians, and yet I feel it's important to ask you this, Christopher, because of the historical context that you've drawn out for us here. I had lunch with a guy recently in San Antonio, longtime supporter of this network, a longtime supporter of the American Free Press, and he was the one who put me on to your videos that were posted with jeffrentz.com. And as we were talking about some of these issues, this guy was pointing out to me all of the obvious things that have happened to the United States in the wake of its support of Israel, and in the wake of its support just in the last 5 or 6 years of this latest incursion into the Middle East, presumably at the behest of Jewish neoconservatives. And when you look at the issue of debt and paper money and foreign borrowing and all of these other things, this guy said to me, I used to wonder how these people thought that they could pursue these policies. And he was speaking about people like Wolfowitz and Pearl and so forth, how they could pursue these policies with all of the obviously detrimental effects that were occurring to the long-term survivability of the United States. He said, but then it dawned on me one day that perhaps the destruction of the United States as we have known it is a part of the master plan, too, in order to facilitate the full-fledged emergence of a world government. Do you think that's good analysis?
I think that's exactly what's occurring, and it's been occurring for a very long time. We have been running up world war debts ever since the establishment of the Federal Reserve, and we have been creating debts. Our currency is based upon debt, and we can never pay it off because we never create enough money to ever be able to pay it off. And we are also losing our national sovereignty. And as you say, we are entering into more and more wars, which are bringing us further and further into debt. And it's debt we just simply can't pay off. There's no means to pay it off because the money itself is based on debt. So you have to create more debt in order to pay off the debt.
Wow. Divide and conquer, destroy both sides, set up a third way alternative, which is a Jewish control of world government. We'll be back with Christopher John Bjorknes taking a further look at this whole issue of what happened to the Armenians and the larger implications that it has for us today when Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
We're back. This is Mark Hancock's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by historian Christopher John Bjerknes. You can find his website at jewishracism.com. And at that website, among many things that you will want to avail yourself of, is this piece entitled The Jewish Genocide of Armenian Christians. It's a 575-page book that is available at the click of a button for those of you who have the capability of downloading a PDF file. It is quite a volume. I plan on partaking in all of the elements of this in the days ahead. I want to read it in its entirety because the implications of this, folks, are absolutely monstrous, not simply as far as what happened approximately 100 years ago, but in terms of what it means for us now. I would suggest as one learning tool for all of us, taking a look at not only all of what Christopher John Bjerknes brings to the table at JewishRacism.com, but reading it in conjunction with the April 2007 Culture Wars of E. Michael Jones. There are two essays there that just absolutely dovetail with the research that Christopher has done. One is what E.O.C. Pognowski has written in his essay, What I Learned at Sachsenhausen, gets into some of the material that Christopher has shared with us today in regard to the last 100 years of history. And then if you turn to what Dr. Jones himself has written on pages 40 through 47 of the April 2007 Culture Wars, he has a piece entitled The Death of Conservatism in the Context of a Review of Murray Friedman's Book, The Neoconservative Revolution, Jewish Intellectuals and the Shaping of Public Policy. It is a Cambridge University Press publication from 2005. And when you see the extent to which Murray Friedman and Dr. E. Michael Jones, in his review of Friedman's book, get into who and what has been behind William F. Buckley and National Review, among many other things, and how the Zionists have infiltrated the American right through Buckley, and what has been accomplished through Norman Podhoretz of Commentary Magazine, who, of course, is now linked up publicly with Rudolph Giuliani. The tentacles of this entire situation that Christopher brings to us today, again, seem to be never-ending. And so for those of us like me who are just beginning to get into this historical material, the implications are absolutely mind-boggling. Christopher, in terms of this whole situation then, where the Tsar obviously knew what was going on, or knew a great portion of what was going on in regard to what the 1903 Zionist Conference had in mind for his reign, are we to see in the rest of the world a division between world governments that were at least privately alarmed, and those world governments that basically sat on the sidelines of this whole thing because the Zionists and the Zionist central bankers had already been largely successful in controlling their regimes?
Yes, and there has been an open threat from the bankers for a very long time, at least through to the Napoleonic Wars, where the Rothschilds controlled the fate of nations because they could control the purse strings of who got money to fund the wars and who didn't get money to fund the wars. And they could also provoke nations to attack other nations. And it was an open threat, and it was often openly stated that if you did not go along with their agenda, they would create a revolution in your country, or they would pit other countries against you and attack you. And we see instances of this. Many people have declared that the oil bourse has been the reason for attacks on various nations. I personally think Zionism is a much stronger element and, in my opinion, the only real element behind all of it. But that argument forms a good example of what I'm talking about. And they can destroy you because they control the international press, and they can foment both revolutions within your own country and foment other nations to attack you.
Is this then the means, as we compare this to what was going on in the run-up to 1915, is this the present-day context in which we are to understand the kinds of attacks we're seeing in the Western press and through electronic outlets like Fox News, largely directed against Putin, Ahmadinejad, and Chavez, just to name three?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it not only takes place in the international media, it takes place within the internal media of that country, and it also takes place through subversive infiltration. They have agents within each of those nations who are presently in each of those nations trying to foment a revolution. And the goal is always to weaken and destabilize and to turn the people against their own government so that the people of the nation do the work of destroying the nation for the Zionists. It's a very clever means of getting things accomplished.
Yes, and to me it also gets into this whole situation, and I suspect with what you'll share with us this morning, and that this was also going on in what was happening with both Armenia and the Ottoman Empire, but certainly these themes keep coming up in terms of infiltration, central banking, media control, and then this whole business of I guess what you'd call a Hegelian dialectic, presenting false antitheses and false alternatives as a means of keeping the game going, which is whereby we get George Bush and Dick Cheney on the one hand, and Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and John Edwards on the other, all of whom seem to be singing from the same songbook, when it comes to Israel and Zionism. We'll be back with Christopher John Bjerknes when Mark Antoff returns. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by historian Christopher John Bjerknes of JewishRacism.com. That's www.JewishRacism.com. Among the many, many fascinating things on this site is a 575-page book that is available to you free at the click of a button if you can download a PDF file, if your computer has that capability. It's entitled The Jewish Genocide of Armenian Christians. I'd also like to recommend the videos that at Rents.com, where Christopher John Bjerknes presents in two videos a brief overview of what obviously goes into in far greater depth in terms of the actual manuscript. Christopher, getting back to this whole thing then, Between 1903 and 1915, when this genocide actually transpired or began to transpire, that's only a period of a dozen years. So it seems to me, again, that whether we're talking about the Tsar in Russia or we're talking about other world governments, there was some hint through the Zionist Conference of 1903 as to what the game plan was. And yet, interestingly enough, things between, say, 1903 and 1948 pretty much followed according to plan. This, again, necessitated a certain degree of success and methodology on the part of the Zionists to be able to pull this thing off, which they, at least up to that point, clearly did and clearly are up to this point. Again, in terms of some of the major players, you mentioned somebody by the name of Talat Pasha. How does he play into this whole thing?
Talat Pasha, I believe, before the so-called revolution, which was actually a takeover, was really a nobody. And I think he was essentially a front man for the Committee of Union and Progress. And many accounts state that he was a gypsy, but he was, in fact, a crypto-Jewish Derme. So he was the one who instigated all of the orders to carry out the extermination, and he was the one who provided the Turks and the Kurds with incentives to carry out the extermination. It was, in fact, the Jews in the Ottoman Empire who profited most from the extermination. They had an economic incentive because they wanted to take over all the positions that the Armenians held within the Ottoman Empire. And they also wanted to weaken the Ottoman Empire. And since the Armenians constituted the intelligentsia, the finest people within the empire, one good way of destroying the empire was to destroy its best citizens. And you see the same thing happening in the Bolshevik Revolution, where the intelligentsia was immediately wiped out, which greatly weakened any possibility of a successful counter-revolution. And they spoke in the same terms during the Young Turk Revolution. They used the same terms of counter-revolution and destroying the intelligentsia and creating a new utopian society. And one of the means that these bankers use is to give incentives like that, to give the Turks the incentives that if they slaughter the Armenians, they get to keep their wealth. And not only will they be able to steal their wealth, they'll also be paid for what they're doing. And Talat Pasha served as a functionary of the Committee of Union and Progress, which was completely controlled by Jewish interests, to instigate this plan to destroy the Armenians. And there's another religious element involved in this, in that the Jews considered the Armenians to be the Amalekites, who are doomed to be blotted out in the Old Testament. And in the Kabbalah, the attack on the Amalekites is even more serious, because it takes on strong racist terms. In the Kabbalah, Amalek is defined as the product of a union between Eve and the serpent, which produced Cain. And they believe that this blood of Cain was passed down to Esau, then to Amalek, then to Haman, and from Haman on to the Armenians. So they believe that the Jewish people had a religious duty in order to regain redemption and in order to take Palestine, to blot out to the last man, woman, and child every Armenian. And if you examine the orders that Talat Pasha gave to the Turks and the Kurds to wipe out the Armenians, they sound almost, in some instances, verbatim, exactly as texts in Deuteronomy and in Exodus and in, I think, 1 Samuel, calling for the extermination of Amalek, blotting him out, removing remembrance of his name. All these things were things which came up in the orders that Talat Pasha issued. And the Muslims, this was not in the nature of the Muslims to do, and they were reluctant to do it. And many Muslims adopted Armenian orphans and other things. And when Talat Pasha found out about this, he was outraged, and he insisted that no orphans be kept, that no Armenians be left alive, not even old men. They wanted every single Armenian blotted out, which is further evidence that there was a Jewish religious element to all of this.
Yes, and that the whole issue, for example, in 1 Samuel, where God issues this comprehensive order, according to 1 Samuel, to King Saul to comprehensively eradicate the, how do you pronounce this? Do you say the Amalekites or the Amalekites?
I think both are correct.
In either event, that you then have, as you've explained it to us, a means whereby the Jewish Kabbalah tries to say that there is a racial lineage extending from the Amalekites, going through Haman of the Persian Empire in the Book of Esther, all the way through to what the Kabbalah claims is a racial lineage of the Arminians to the ancient Amalekites. And that, therefore, what you have is a situation where there is clearly the great irony of having a doctrine of Jewish racial supremacism utilized as a justification for mass genocide against Christians in this last century. And the beauty of the whole thing, if one is a conspirator, one of the ultimate conspirators in this whole thing, is that to the extent that people in the West today are even aware of what happened to the Armenians, they see it as something that was fomented on them as a result of the Islamic Ottoman Empire.
Yes, and I should point out one issue. I misled you. I don't believe the Kabbalah actually identifies the Armenians as the Amalekites. I believe that the Kabbalah traces this lineage all the way back to Cain, which doesn't happen in the Hebrew Bible itself.
Ah, okay.
The Jewish people itself, from the Byzantine Empire onwards, identified the Armenians as the Amalekites. And that is documented in Horowitz's book, Reckless Rites, very, very well. And you'll also find quoted in my book entries in the Jewish Encyclopedia and the Encyclopedia Judaica, and I think the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia, where they identify this fact that the Armenians were viewed as the Amalekites, and that this racial hatred was very much alive at the time that the Armenian genocide happened.
Yes, and so basically then you have a Jewish racial a doctrine of Jewish racial supremacism that was the underlying ideological motivation, for one of the underlying ideological motivations for this. And yet again, in terms of the upfront players that the average person is aware of, if they even read history at all, they would have seen this as having its roots not in Jewish racial supremacism and Zionism, but in the Islamic faith.
Precisely, and very well put. That's exactly what happened. And then it was used as a model for Nazism. Nazism itself was based on Jewish supremacism, and Julius Streicher stated exactly that at the Nuremberg trials, that the Nuremberg laws were patterned on Jewish racial laws of segregation.
Boy, I tell you, again, the implications of this to me are absolutely monstrous as I think through what you're explaining to all of us, myself included with all of this, Christopher. And, you know, when I really think this thing through, it seems to me that, again, one is dealing with the hidden hands behind these events and also the way in which certain institutions and certain positions within these various nation states and empires had to be and were infiltrated. When you think of the infiltration that occurred both in the Ottoman Empire and also in Armenia specifically, I know that you mentioned Talat Pasha. If I'm remembering this correctly, he was an interior minister?
Correct.
Of the Ottoman Empire.
Exactly, after the overthrow.
Yes. And so presumably, and then of course you mentioned this other gentleman, Bey, I believe was his name, B-E-Y, who was a finance minister. So we got an interior minister and a finance minister involved in this. Then presumably there would be certain other key institutional players that if we can extrapolate from this example, what kinds of positions would the World Zionist Conspiracy tend to need to control and to infiltrate in order to take over a country or an empire or to pit one country against another? What generalized patterns can we extrapolate from this?
In terms of making war a profitable business for World Zionism, They need control over the central banks so that when they run up war debts, they essentially enslave the people to that debt. And they also thereby gain the means of controlling the money supply and controlling business cycles and the cycles of inflation and deflation. So that's key to them. Central banking is key. Another key is control of the media. And once you have control of the media, you have control of public opinion and you have control of politics. So you then gain control of the politicians. And another key thing is to create societies that pursue utopianism and to pit the people themselves against the government with utopian aspirations and to lead the people to believe that if they destroy themselves, that they will attain utopian objectives. And that, again, is one of the things I keep harping on. It must be annoying. But the Christian Zionists have a utopian view that they will be raptured into heaven if they can instigate World War III, and that they, through this artificial means, can hasten the return of Jesus Christ, even though Christian theological doctrine tells them not to do it and tells them not to try to know the dates that these events will happen.
Yes, and it seems to me, as I think this thing through, that what you're explaining to us is that when you look at Christian Zionism and the ideological glue that holds that together is this dispensational premillennial view of eschatology and prophecy, going back again to John Nelson Darby and the Scofield Reference Bible of the 19th century. And what I think you and others have pointed out was the Rothschild financing of the worldwide printing and distribution of the Scofield Reference Bible. But the way in which that particular version of utopia has this bizarre alliance with a Zionist view of world government, a utopian world government coming to us headquartered in Jerusalem that is under Zionist control, where Jesus Christ is clearly not only not acknowledged but denied. So there you have the ultimate bizarre alliance to me, in that Christian Zionism, with its form of utopia, which it believes will result both in the escape of those from the immediate implications of all of this through a rapture, so that the Christian Zionists allegedly will not be around during the events that ultimately usher in a third world war and all of this apocalyptic global catastrophe. But by the same time, when Jesus Christ does return, in their view, I mean, you seem to have this Christian Zionist ideology that seems to be, in its view of an earthly millennial utopia, borrowing from a Marxist worldview.
Exactly. And there was a lineage of this. The Church of England and other Protestant movements were infiltrated by Judaizers who propagandized in their literature trying to provoke wars between the British, the Russians, and the Turks that ultimately resulted in World War I and World War II. But this goes way, way back, many centuries, beginning in the 1500s and perhaps even earlier in some of the Kabbalistic writings. And you have key figures such as Isaac Newton, the famous mathematician and physicist, was actually a Kabbalistic Jew. The economist John Maynard Keynes described Newton as a Jewish monotheist of the school of Maimonides. And these people propagandized the idea that the Christians would have to be destroyed in order for the Jews to be restored to Palestine, and that the times of the Gentiles would have to end, relating to Mark, I think, chapter 21 or something, that this was the duty of the Christians to conduct revolutions, to destroy all their own evil societies, so that the Jewish king could be established in Zion and the millennial age begun on earth. They didn't pursue the idea of a heavenly kingdom. They didn't pursue the Christian ideal of redemption through the sacrifice on the cross. They instead wanted to rebuild the temple, begin animal sacrifices, and begin obeyance to the Mosaic covenant instead of the covenant with Christ. It was a complete Judaization of Christianity through infiltration.
Yes, and so ultimately the great irony is that in terms of contemporary Christian Zionism, which has its roots presumably in all of these earlier historical tensions and movements, you have something that virtually none of their followers understand, and that is that taking Christian Zionism to its logical conclusion, it is a reinstitution of Judaism and a repudiation, ultimately, in my view at least, of the centrality of Christ.
Absolutely, that's exactly what it is. It is to fulfill Old Testament prophecy instead of New Testament prophecy. It is to take from Christianity and to make the Christians agents of their own demise, so that the Jews can then exterminate the Gentiles, because they believe that, well, whenever Gentiles exist, there's a danger that the impurity of Gentile blood will enter into the Jewish populations and create a mixed multitude that will lead the Jews astray from their obedience to God and will pollute their blood. So the only resolution is to kill all of the Gentiles.
When we come back with Christopher John Bjerknes, I want to ask him about certain things pertaining to the Jewish genocide of Armenian Christians and the pitting of Christians against Muslims at that period of time, see what extent that connects up with some things going on right now. We'll be back with Mark Dankoff's America. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
We'll be right back.
back. This is Mark Ancos coming live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been joined this morning by Christopher John Bjorknes. He will be with us until hopefully at least maybe 9:30 this morning, Central Time. And then I'll briefly be joined in the last part of the show by Chris Cox of the National Rifle Association's Institute for Legislative Action. Wanted to mention again to Christopher as well as the listeners that these next few minutes are a time of frequent commercial interruption. So we will get back to this conversation with Christopher here real shortly. I'd like to ask you at this time to support the Republic Broadcasting Network, which you can do so. You can do so through your financial means to the extent that that's available to you. And utilize certain contact points to reach us. www.republicbroadcasting.org is one means. Calling us at 1-800-724-2719 is yet another. And finally, there's our snail mail address, which is 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, Suite 302 in Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Through those same contact points, you can also have Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. Again, utilize the same means of getting to us, either the snail mail address, which is 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664, or give us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719, or contact us through the World Wide Web at www.republicbroadcasting.org. Christopher, we're about to be interrupted again, I'm sure, by another commercial message, so bear with me on this. But just in terms of putting this in the forefront of your mind, as I look at this whole business of the tragedy of the way in which the Zionists pitted the Ottoman Empire against the Armenians and vice versa, in a way that resulted ultimately in a terrible loss of life that mushroomed into a full-blown First World War. I'm reminded of the fact that so many people continue to see this as a struggle between Christian Armenia and the Islamic Ottoman Empire. Is that false juxtaposition, understandable, but false juxtaposition, the same sort of thing that we should see today went for thousands upon thousands of Americans who watch, say, Fox News or read WorldNet Daily or Buckley's National Review? They see this present situation in the Middle East as one between Christians on the one hand and those who are involved in what they term Islamo-fascism on the other, and that the hidden hand of world Zionism is virtually never identified in this process?
Yes, there's a strong element of vilification through the international media.
Yeah, when we come back, let's explore that a little bit, and then I have a couple of further historical questions on the Armenian tragedy specifically. This is Mark Ancoff, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Broadcasting Network. The genocide of Armenian Christians. You can find his website at JewishRacist.com. We'll be back.
With recent